Hope you're warm. So we scaled things way back today. No PowerPoint. We're going old school. Some would call it ancient school. But if you have a Bible or a reasonable facsimile on a phone or a device, you want to turn over to 1 Peter, that's where we're going to be coming out of today. And you may want to take some notes. We got lots going on today. But welcome to 2018. Another year. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels this way. It's amazing when a new year starts and you're like, where did last year go? Wasn't it just like, it seemed literally like yesterday. It was 2017 and we had this whole year in front of us and now it's gone and we're into 2018. But a new year, fresh start. I don't know about you, but there's always something exciting looking ahead and new plans and new hopes, new dreams. I'm not quite sure what you're thinking of ahead, but hopefully it will be a great year for you. Obviously, we've heard about Cam's situation as he's proposed and engaged. But there's another really big event happening in a couple weeks. And that would be our very own Christine, who is going to be retiring. So she is counting down the days. And not quite sure what that means. People ask me about retirement. I'm like, what is that? but I'm sure when I get a little bit older, I'll start thinking more and more about it. But we're fired up for you, Christine. Excited for you. And she's also celebrating another birthday. And so it's all kind of coming together around the same time. So we're looking forward to that and excited for you as you start your new journey after you retire in 2018. Amen. You know, back in December, one of the lessons I finished up was see the need, feel the need, and meet the need. And it is actually going to be our theme for 2018 as we go through this year. I did a lesson that day and talked specifically about, you know, those who are less fortunate in our communities, in our society, and seeing those needs, feeling for them, and then doing what we can to help. But it also applies in so many other areas in other ways as well. And, you know, we think about people who don't know God. There's a need there. So see it. Feel for them. And then what can you do to meet that? And so I was trying to do what I could. I thought, well, we could have short form SFM. Everything, you know, BMO. You know, all that kind of, well, SFM. See, feel, meet, need, huh? Are you with me? Throw me a bone, please. Then I was talking to Josh, who's a little bit more keen on all this stuff, and we'll talk a little bit more later today, but maybe some kind of hashtag, see, feel, meet the need, as we go into our year. But really looking forward to it and seeing what God will do. I mean, we've already had some great stories in helping in our communities, and I'll share a little bit more about that as time goes on. But if you have your Bible, turn me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And so this is a letter written by the Apostle Peter. He had some help in actually transcribing it from another brother, Silas or Silvanus, depending on the Greek or Hebrew in there. But this was written around 63 AD. And he starts off, and there's literally just a couple verses that I wanted to read. And in the NIV it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. 2018. What I wanted us to focus on today is a few things in this passage as we start a new year. One is, if you look at a different translation, instead of God's elect, it says God's chosen. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit, but he talks about those who are temporarily residing abroad. In other words, he says here, for the strangers in the world who are scattered throughout. He's making a connection to the Old Testament here. For the Jews who had been scattered, the dispersion, throughout the known world. So when you go back to the dividing of the kingdom between the north and the south, in around 922 BC, Assyria comes in and exiles a bunch of the northern Jews throughout the known world. And then around 536 BC, Nebuchadnezzar comes in as Babylon and does the same to the southern tribes. And so all of a sudden you have Jews who, everything was focused on Jerusalem and the temple, are now scattered throughout the known world. And it's an amazing situation as we look at that, because they were spread out. And Peter is making a connection there. And he says, back then, the temple was the focus of worship. But now that they had been scattered, they developed a new form, which was the synagogue. And so then every few years, there would be, when time allowed, they would have special holidays where they would come back to Jerusalem to be at the temple. But other than that, every Saturday, they were in the synagogue in their town. And that was the center of their worship on a weekly basis. Well, this was a part of God's unfolding plan, which we are a part of today. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, written around 750 BC, Isaiah says that God was going to do something very special, chapter 2, that people from every nation were going to be in Jerusalem, and God would begin his kingdom there. This is all part of this plan that would unfold from 922, 536. In Daniel chapter 2, the story of Nebuchadnezzar and his dream, that's written about 550 BC, about 200 years after Isaiah. He says God is going to establish a kingdom in the time of those kings. The kings I believe he's referring to are the Caesars of Rome. That God would establish his kingdom then that will never be destroyed. Peter is tapping into that whole idea and that whole concept when he talks about being strangers in a world and scattered throughout. We sing a song. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Do we listen and understand what those lyrics mean? This world is not our home. Though it works very, very hard to make us think it's all about this world. How much money do I have? What kind of reputation do I have? Where am I going? How big is my house? How many cars do I have? What kind of clothes do I have? All that stuff can be gone in the blink of an eye. And then what do we have? You can go back to the 30s during the Depression, where people had put everything they had into the market and overnight lost everything. And you know what they were doing? Jumping off of buildings. Because they put all their hope into this world. If you have a Bible, turn with me over to Acts chapter 1. So the book of Acts was written by a doctor. I have a couple of them in the audience. It was written by a doctor, Luke, gathering information. And in in Acts chapter 1, in verse 7, it says, he said to them, referring to Jesus, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus was telling that little group of disciples, that little group of followers, let me share with you the plan. You're going to share your faith, the good news of the gospel in Jerusalem. And then you're going to branch out into Judea. And then you're going to get up into Samaria. And then eventually the whole entire world is going to hear the good news. It's all going to start with that little mustard seed. These guys are pretty fired up about that. I'm not going to go into all the details, but they decided they were just going to stay in Jerusalem. That wasn't God's plan. Do you remember what God did? He broke out a persecution against the disciples so they would scatter and get to being about their business. Later on in chapter 2, in verse 5, it says, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. God's plan. That there would be people from every nation in Jerusalem. Well, how would that happen? Because back in 922, 536, I'm going to have my people scattered throughout the entire known world. They're going to develop synagogues. But we're going to have holy holidays back in Jerusalem. And people from every nation are going to come. And from that little mustard seed, we're going to spread the gospel throughout Judea, throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the entire known world. That's what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter. He said, we, the people he's writing to, we're those who are scattered. And we have a purpose and a responsibility. In the NIV, it says God's elect, but if you go to Holman's or the Net Bible, it talks about we are chosen by God. Now, the question when it comes to being chosen, which has been an argument in religious circles for a long time, is God saying the person is chosen or the plan was chosen? Are we predestined as individuals to go to heaven and some to hell? Or was the plan predestined to happen? And so we read stuff like this and people go, there's predestination. In other words, God wants you to go to heaven and you're going to hell. You're going to heaven, you're going to hell. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter how you live your life. Some are predestined to make it and the rest of us, you're out of luck. Yeah, but I'm living such a good life. I don't believe people are predestined for heaven. I believe God predestined a plan that if we respond to it, then we will be part of the chosen. How do I know that? Well, if we turn over to the book of Ephesians, Paul writing from prison to the church in Ephesus, and he says some things in here that are very important for us to know. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. There's that predestination. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us. See, there it is. To be adopted as his sons. So is the person predestined or was the plan of adoption predestined? See, many of us in this room, if not all of us, are what would be considered Gentiles. We are not allowed in to the kingdom under the first covenant. But God had a plan to allow us to be adopted into his family. Continuing on. According to his pleasure and will, verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us, in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Again, the plan, his good pleasure, the mystery. Verse 10, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. When did the times reach fulfillment? Pentecost. It was time for the mystery to be revealed. Continuing on. To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan. God had a plan for every person to be adopted into his family. Through and by the sacrifice of Christ. A plan of predestined, a plan that was predestined from the beginning of time. Because we are adopted as God's children and therefore we will gain an inheritance from our Father in heaven. Now I was going to do a whole lesson on that, but that would take tons more time. But think about having an inheritance. You know, you hear of inheritance, okay, when you reach a certain age, then you will get. Well, when we leave this life, God will give us our inheritance. Go to the book of Revelation. No more tears. No more pain. No more suffering. It'll all be gone. But for a short time, we have to suffer in this life. Turn me over to 1 Timothy. Are you still with me, church? In chapter 2, 1 Timothy. Another reason why I believe people are not predestined, but the plan is predestined. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in a godliness and a holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who what? Wants all people to be saved. Why would Paul say God wants everybody to be saved if God knows that, no, I just want this person predestined and that one not predestined? God wants us all to be saved. God wants everybody to make it. If people are predestined, then it should read, God wants some people to be saved. But God wants all of us to be saved. In Luke 18, the sad reality is, Luke 18 verse 8, Jesus says, when I return, will I even find faith on the earth? Now, I'm not one of those guys who likes to try to make predictions where God himself says, or Jesus says himself, no one knows the plan except God. But I believe we're living in a time that is very scary. To be a Christian today, to talk about your convictions and your belief, you are embarrassed, you are humiliated. They have people who are on the top book-selling who are telling the world that if someone claims to be a Christian, you have the right to embarrass them and mock them in public. And it's an amazing thing. I sat at a lunch table over the holidays with a bunch of guys that I play basketball with, and a guy sitting beside me goes, Jesus was the greatest, what was the term he used? It just shocked me. Con artist. The greatest con artist the world has ever seen, because he told everybody to give stuff away so that when he wanted something, he could just ask for it. And I'm like, if I said anything about anybody else's religion or sexual orientation or anything like that, it would be considered hate, hate speech. I would be put in a box. Like, it's an amazing thing. I think it's only going to get worse as a Christian. And I think we've got to start realizing that the Bible is true. And when Jesus says, when I return, will there even be faith on the earth? We need to understand, most people are not going to want to be Christians. But even within Christendom, I don't know if there's a lot of people within Christendom who really want to follow Jesus. I want to ask you a question. I think there are many people who believe in Jesus. But my question is, how many of them actually believe Jesus? And that's a question I ask myself all the time. It's one thing to say, hey, I'm a minister, and yes, I believe in Jesus. But when I read stuff in the scriptures that go against what I want, do I believe what this says? Or do I just want to believe in this? You know, back in 1 Peter, Peter shares with us that the Father has chosen us according to his plan. I want to ask us as Christians to let that resonate in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds every single day. God has chosen us to be a part of his family. Not because we're so awesome. Because we're not. But God has chosen us. The Spirit has sanctified us, leading us to obedience. Do you allow the Holy Spirit in your heart to lead you to obey God's word? And the blood of Jesus has purified us, has forgiven us of all our sin. And that purification should lead us to a point of grace and peace in our life. I know in my own life, when I'm not at peace, more often than not, it's because I'm wrestling with control of my life. And I don't want to trust God. And I'll start looking for other explanation, other reasons for things so I can justify certain things that I want. And it brings no peace in my heart. But it's amazing to me how if I can just wake up in the morning and go, you know what, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to think about what I'm reading. I'm going to go pray about it, connect with God. How it just sets my day on a different note for that day. It's an amazing thing. In conclusion, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, chapter 5. We are chosen, we are empowered, and we are forgiven. Why? Why have we been chosen? Why have we been empowered? And why are we forgiven? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. We have been chosen by God. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have been forgiven by the sacrifice and the blood of Christ. For what purpose? To be ministers of reconciliation. To be ambassadors of the home that we call our home, heaven. We are called to help as many as possible come to the understanding and the realization that there is a God and that he longs and desires for a relationship with them. You know, in 2018, here are some of the plans that we have ahead. Most of our services will be here at St. Mary's, but we will plan a number of events at the Boat Club, one of my favorite places to hang out. This year, we're also going to try to have a couple park services. I've tried to book three dates in the summer down at Africville and have a church service down there and have an outdoor picnic. We have some house churches. Well, how does that fit into what I was just saying? We've got to start becoming disciples who are about our purpose of reconciliation. We've got to start inviting our friends and our families to come to these events, to see God at work. God is trying to speak through us. And so it's a great opportunity for that. March 24th, we're in the process of booking the Best Western Chocolate Lake again for a Women's Day event. And we have actually secured an outside speaker to come in, actually a former student at Mount St. Vincent. That would be Lillian Hislop. So Lil's coming in, and Richard's going to come with her. He's going to preach on the Sunday. He also wanted me to say hi to the Frost since they knocked on his door to help him come out to church. So I'm just saying, connections all around. And so that's going to be a great event. We are starting on January 20th. In Amherst, having a married devotional, the Love and War book, with the McCrossins and at least five couples, their friends. So please be praying for that, because who knows where that will lead in helping us to develop a Bible talk up there, maybe eventually a house church. So we're looking forward to that. We have this Serving Our Community that the Halifax explosion with hope and stuff like that, to get into our communities to serve and meet needs of people. Let them see the love of Jesus in our lives. And, you know, for example, my wife and I have been going to the food bank in Spryfield. And we were there during the Christmas rush helping out. And then Rita went back on another day, and there was a woman there, Barb, who we had talked to and got to meet. And she went up to Carol, who we've all met. Carol has been out to church a couple times. And literally said, "Carol, the next time you go to that church, I want to come." Not because she was given an invite, not because we said, "Hey, why don't you come to church?" She just sees something different. And I think for a lot of us, if we just get into our communities and meet needs, you'll see God doing great things in people's hearts. We have to see the need, feel the need, meet the need. Just praying that God will open up our eyes to whatever's going on around us. Even things as simply as a woman in minus 19 degree carrying a child and groceries going to her car, not finding her keys, and saying, "I will help you," and hold either the groceries or the child while she gets her car open. And it makes a difference. And so I just ask for us to really pour our hearts into this and pray about it. You know, this year I really want to encourage us and challenge us to be men and women of greater faith. That God is going to do great things. That God is going to break down walls like God did for Jericho when the Israelites walked around it and then yelled at the wall and it just crumbled down. That God will break down walls in your life. And that it'll happen by no more than just our faith that God will do it. That we will be men and women who not only have greater faith, but share our faith as we go about our days. And that we'll be men and women who not only share our faith, but demonstrate our faith by how we live every day. You know, as I wrap up here, I just wanted to share some things that some of us may know, we may not know, but just to give us some context of the responsibilities that we have in the church. We have a great board of directors. Unfortunately, Mark is not here due to work, but Mark is, I would call him the president, but do we use president or chairman? He's the chairman. Dean, hiding back there in Mark's, you know, his stand-in, is the vice chair. Then we have Jen, we have Tim, and we have Emmanuel, Mr. Simmons back there on the board. That is our board of directors. But we also have Brenda, who is our secretary on the board, and we have Carlton, who is the treasurer. He helps me keep everything together. But the board of directors is really our government group to help make sure that we stay in line with what is required as a charity. And they also help me stay in line with the budget. We only spend what we have. So it's been a good thing. They're a great board, but that's their responsibility. You know, I've asked Dave Burge, hiding right here. He is now helping just organize and prep Sunday mornings, getting people for prayer, things like that, whatever's happening up on, up front. But we've also asked him to help with organizing the ushers, as well as when it comes to benevolence within our church, he's the man to see. And so diversion of some power there and help. So if there's needs, please talk to Dave. Because often what happens is needs go by and people assume I know them. And I don't, because no one lets me know. So when it comes to things like that, please talk with Dave about that. But not only that. Rajan is going to be taking over, helping organize our young high school women's Friday Devos. Fired up about that. And I haven't talked to my wife about this yet, but there will be a meeting after service with my wife and the parents of those who have high school women in your family. It would be Rajan, but she has to run off to her other job. And so she won't be able to be there, but talk with Rita, wanted to sort of talk about some ideas and thoughts through that, and then convey that with Ray during the week and get that up and running. Amen? Our children's ministry coordinator, Tina Primo. Now, I'd have her stand up, but she's actually serving for 3 months down in Kids Kingdom as well. And so her stand-in is Brenda as the supervisor for these 3 months. And so, but Tina's been doing a phenomenal job. She's got a 2-year plan of teachers. so that you only have to go in for 3 months rather than in for three, out for three, back for three. But it's encouraging because more and more people are stepping up to help in that way, and it makes the job that much simpler. But she's doing a tremendous job. Amen. I've asked both Tim Frost and Glenn Gallagher to help with teaching things to the church, and that's what happened at the last year with our midweeks where we're going through the patriarchs, which was actually Tim's brainchild about doing that. And so we've been working through that, but just trying to feed the church, and they're doing a tremendous job in helping with that, and we're going to continue that on here in the month of February. So I'm fired up about that. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Brenda is going to... We have prayer cards right on the table. So prayer requests. So if you have a prayer request, get the card, fill it out, make sure you get it to Brenda. Brenda's going to put a list together, and for anybody who wants to be a part of that prayer warrior group, you'll get a copy of this to be praying for these people and their needs throughout the week. Because as a church, we should be a group that prays. Amen? And so I'm fired up that she will be helping in that way. And then another thing that we're looking at doing is we've developed what I would call a leadership team, though I hate using the word leadership, but a leadership team, which is going to be helping sort of direct the church. And in that group, we have the Skeets, we have the Inyegas, who helped oversee the Dartmouth group, we have the Taylors, who helped with the Halifax group, and then with the Yopros, the younger group, we have the Young Udalls, that would be Josh and Kelsey, and then Manny and Megan Simmons, who helped with the Yopros. And so that group is going to help direct and steer the church as well as these other groups that are in there. That is sort of our leadership of our church. And so I really want you to pray for these situations and for these people, because I think it's so important that we have the Lord working behind us rather than on our own strengths and our own merits. Amen? You know, as we wrap up here, we're about to take communion. Going to have Tim actually come forward and lead us in prayer for that. But I want us to remember as we take communion that Jesus gave his life so that you and I could be adopted into the family of God. So that we could have our sins forgiven, that we could gain an inheritance that will not spoil nor fade, that'll be there for us when we pass from this life to the next. At this time, if Tim could come on forward.